She's resisting the content of his point of view, when really his unloving delivery is what upsets her. Because he doesn't understand her reaction, he focuses more on explaining the merit of what he's saying instead of correcting the way he's saying it. He has no idea that he is starting an argument. He thinks she is arguing with him. He defends his point of view while she defends herself from his sharpened expressions, which are hurtful to her. When a man neglects to honor a woman's hurt feelings, he invalidates them and increases her hurt. It's hard for him to understand her hurt because he's not as vulnerable to uncaring comments and tones. Consequently, a man may not even realize how much he's hurting his partner and thus provoking her resistance. In a similar way, women don't realize how they're hurtful to men. Unlike a man, when a woman feels challenged, the tone of her speech automatically becomes increasingly mistrusting and rejecting. This kind of rejection is much more hurtful to a man, especially when he's emotionally involved. Women start and escalate arguments by first sharing negative feelings about their partner's behavior and then by giving unsolicited advice. When a woman neglects to buffer her negative feelings with messages of trust and acceptance, a man responds negatively, leaving the woman confused. Again, she's unaware of how hurtful her mistrusting attitude is to him. To avoid painful arguments, we need to remember that our partner objects not to what we're saying, but to how we're saying it. It takes two to argue, but it only takes one to stop an argument. The best way to stop an argument is to nip it in the bud. Take responsibility for recognizing when a disagreement is turning into a painful argument. Stop talking and take a time out. Cool off. Reflect on how you're approaching your partner. Try to understand how you're not giving them what they need. Then after some time has passed, come back and talk again, but in a loving and respectful way. Timeouts allow us to cool off, heal our wounds, center ourselves before trying to communicate again. The four F's for avoiding hurt. There are basically four stances that individuals take to avoid getting hurt in arguments. They are the four F's: fight, flight, fake, and fold. Each of these stances offers a short-term gain, but in the long run, they're counterproductive. Let's explore each of these positions. 1. Fight. This stance definitely comes from Mars. When a conversation becomes unloving and unsupportive, some individuals instinctively begin to fight. They immediately move into an offensive stance. Their motto is, "The best defense is a strong offense." They strike out by blaming, judging, criticizing, and making their partner look wrong. They tend to start yelling and express lots of anger. Their inner motive is to intimidate their partner into loving and supporting them. When their partner backs down, they assume they've won, but in truth, they've lost. Intimidation always weakens trust in a relationship. To muscle your way into getting what you want by making others look wrong is a sure way to fail in a relationship. When couples fight, they gradually lose the ability to be open and vulnerable. Women close up to protect themselves, and men shut down and stop caring as much. Gradually, they lose whatever intimacy they had in the beginning. 2. Flight. This stance also comes from Mars. To avoid confrontation, Martians may retire into their caves and never come out. This is like a cold war. They refuse to talk and nothing gets resolved. This passive-aggressive behavior is not the same as taking a time out and then coming back to talk and resolve things in a more loving fashion. These Martians are afraid of confrontation and would rather lie low and avoid talking about any topics that may cause an argument. They walk on eggshells in a relationship. Women commonly complain that they have to walk on eggshells, but men do also. It's so ingrained in men that they don't even realize how much they do it. Rather than arguing, some couples will simply stop talking about their disagreements. Their way of trying to get what they want is quite often to punish their partner by withholding love. They don't come out and directly hurt their partners like the fighters. Instead, they indirectly hurt them by slowly depriving them of the love they deserve. By withholding our love, our partners are sure to have less love to give us. The short-term gain is peace and harmony. But if issues are not being talked about and feelings are not being heard, then resentments will build. In the long run, they lose touch with the passionate and loving feelings that drew them together. People in this category generally use overworking, overeating, and other addictions as a way to numb their unresolved painful feelings. 3. To fake. This stance comes from Venus. To avoid being hurt in a confrontation, this person pretends that there's no problem. She puts a smile on her face and appears to be very agreeable and happy with everything. Over time, however, these women become increasingly resentful. They're always giving to their partner, but they don't get what they need in return. This resentment blocks the natural expression of love. They're afraid to be honest about their feelings, so they try to make everything all right, okay, and fine. Men commonly use these phrases, but for them, they mean something completely different. He means, it's okay because I'm dealing with it alone, or it's all right because I know what to do, or it's fine because I'm handling it and I don't need any help. Unlike a man, when a woman uses these phrases, it may be a sign that she's trying to avoid a conflict or argument. To avoid making waves, a woman may even fool herself and believe that everything is okay, fine, and all right, when really it isn't. She sacrifices or denies her wants, feelings, and needs to avoid the possibility of conflict. 4. To fold. This stance also comes from Venus. Rather than argue, this person gives in. They'll take the blame and assume responsibility for whatever's upsetting their partner. In the short run, they create what looks like a very loving and supportive relationship, but they end up losing themselves. A man once complained to me about his wife. He said, I love her so much. She gives me everything I want. My only complaint is she's not happy. His wife had spent 20 years denying herself for her husband. They never fought. And if you asked her about her relationship, she'd say, we have a great relationship. My husband is so loving. Our only problem is me. I'm depressed and I don't know why. She's depressed because she's denied herself by being agreeable for 20 years. To please their partner, these people intuitively sense their partner's desires and then mold themselves in order to please. They're great accommodators. Eventually, they resent having to give up themselves for love. Any form of rejection is very painful because they're already rejecting themselves or their own needs so much. They seek to avoid rejection at all costs and want to be loved by all. In this process, they literally give up who they are. You may have found yourself in any one of these four F's or in many of them. People commonly move from one to the other. In each of the previous four strategies, our intention is to protect ourselves from being hurt. Unfortunately, in the long run, it doesn't work. What works is to identify when a painful argument is beginning and stop. Take a time out to cool off and then come back and talk again. Practice communicating with increased understanding and respect for the opposite sex, and you'll gradually learn to avoid painful arguments and fights. Why we argue. Men and women commonly argue about money, sex, decisions, scheduling, values, child rearing, and household responsibilities. These discussions and negotiations, however, turn into painful arguments for only one reason. We're not feeling loved. Emotional pain comes from not feeling loved, and when a person is feeling emotional pain, it's very hard for them to be loving. Because women are not from Mars, they don't instinctively realize what a man needs in order to deal successfully with disagreements. Conflicting ideas, feelings, and desires are a difficult challenge for a man. The closer he is to a woman, the harder it is to deal with differences and disagreements. When she doesn't like something he's done, he tends to take it very personally and feels like she doesn't like him. A man can handle differences and disagreements best when his emotional needs are being fulfilled. When he's deprived of the love he needs, however, he becomes defensive and his dark side begins to emerge. Instinctively, he draws his sword. On the surface, he may seem to be arguing about the issue, like money or responsibilities, but the real reason he's drawn his sword is he doesn't feel loved. When a man argues about money, scheduling, children, or any other issue, secretly, he may be arguing for some of the following reasons. The secret reasons men argue. The hidden reason why he's arguing is, I don't like it when she gets upset over the smallest things I do or don't do. I feel criticized, rejected, and unaccepted. What he needs not to argue, he needs to feel accepted just the way he is. Instead, he feels she's always trying to improve him. The hidden reason why he's arguing. I don't like it when she starts telling me how I should do things. I don't feel admired. Instead, I feel like I'm being treated like a child. What he needs is to feel admired. Instead, he feels put down. The hidden reason a man is arguing. I don't like it when she blames me for her unhappiness. I don't feel encouraged to be her knight in shining armor. What he needs is to feel encouraged. Instead, he feels like giving up. Her happiness makes him feel encouraged. The hidden reason he's arguing. I don't like it when she complains about how much she does or how unappreciated she feels. It makes me feel unappreciated for the things I do for her. In this case, he needs to feel appreciated. Instead, he feels blamed and unacknowledged and powerless at those times when she doesn't feel appreciated. Another hidden reason a man might be arguing. I don't like it when she worries about everything that could go wrong. I don't feel trusted that I can handle it. He needs to feel trusted and appreciated for his contribution to her security. Instead, he feels responsible for her anxiety. Another secret reason men argue. I don't like it when she expects me to do things or talk when she wants me to. I just don't feel accepted the way I am. This man needs to feel accepted just the way he is. Instead, he feels controlled or pressured to talk and thus has nothing to say. It makes him feel that he can never satisfy her. Another secret reason men argue. I don't like it when she feels hurt by what I say. I feel mistrusted. I feel misunderstood and pushed away. I can't do anything right. Again, this man needs to feel accepted and trusted. Instead, he feels rejected and unforgiven. Another secret reason men argue. I don't like it when she expects me to read her mind. I can't. It makes me feel bad or inadequate, like I'm supposed to be somebody else. He needs to feel her approval. He needs to feel acceptance. Instead, he feels like a failure. Fulfilling a man's primary emotional needs will diminish his tendency to engage in hurtful arguments. Automatically, he'll be able to listen and speak with much greater respect, understanding, and caring. In this way, arguments, differences of opinion, and negative feelings can be resolved through conversation, negotiation, and compromise without escalating into hurtful arguments. Women also contribute to hurtful arguments, but for different reasons. On the surface, she may be arguing about finances, responsibilities, or another issue, but secretly inside, she's resisting her partner for some of the following reasons. The secret reasons women argue. The hidden reason she's arguing. I don't like it when he minimizes the importance of my feelings or requests. I feel dismissed and unimportant. What she needs not to argue? She needs to feel validated and cherished. Instead, she feels judged and ignored. Another secret reason she argues. I don't like it when he forgets to do the things I ask, and then I sound like a nag. I feel like I'm begging for his support. She needs to feel respected and remembered. Instead, she feels neglected and at the bottom of his list of priorities. Another reason she could be arguing. I don't like it when he blames me for being upset. I feel like I have to be perfect to be loved. I'm not perfect. She needs him to understand why she is upset and reassure her that she's still loved and that she doesn't have to be perfect. Instead, she feels unsafe to be herself. Another hidden reason a woman might be arguing. I don't like it when he raises his voice or starts making lists of why he's right. It makes me feel like I'm wrong and he doesn't care about my point of view. She needs to feel understood and respected. Instead, she feels unheard, bullied, and pushed down. Another reason a woman might argue, I don't like his condescending attitude when I ask questions about decisions we need to make. Makes me feel like I'm a burden or that I'm wasting his time. In this case, she needs to feel that he cares about her feelings and respects her need to gather information. Instead, she feels disrespected and unappreciated. Another secret reason women might be arguing. I don't like it when he doesn't respond to my questions or comments. Makes me feel like I don't exist. She needs to feel reassured that he's listening and that he cares. Instead, she feels ignored or judged. Another reason she might argue. I don't like it when he explains why I shouldn't be hurt, worried, or angry, or anything else. I feel invalidated and unsupported when he tells me how I should feel or how I shouldn't feel. She needs to feel validated and understood. Instead, she feels unsupported, unloved, and resentful. Another hidden reason women will argue. I don't like it when he expects me to be more detached. Makes me feel like it's wrong or weak to have feelings. She needs to feel respected and cherished, especially when she's sharing her feelings. Instead, she feels unsafe and unprotected. Although these painful feelings and needs are valid, they're generally not dealt with and communicated directly. Instead, they build up inside and come bursting out during an argument. Sometimes they're directly addressed, but usually they come up and are expressed through facial expression, body posture, and tone of voice. Men and women need to understand and cooperate with their particular sensitivities and not resent them or judge them. You'll be addressing the true problem by trying to communicate in a way that fulfills your partner's emotional needs. Arguments can then truly become mutually supportive conversations necessary to resolve and negotiate differences and disagreements. The anatomy of an argument. A hurtful argument usually has a basic anatomy. Maybe you can relate to the following example. My wife and I went on a beautiful walk and picnic. After eating, everything seemed fine until I started talking about possible investments. Suddenly, she became upset that I would consider investing a certain portion of our savings in aggressive stocks. From my point of view, I was only considering it, but what she heard was that I was planning it without even considering her point of view. She became upset that I would do such a thing. I became upset with her for being upset with me, and we had an argument. I thought she disapproved of my investment choices and argued for their validity. My argument, however, was fueled by my anger that she was upset with me. She argued that aggressive stocks were too risky, but really she was upset that I would consider this investment without exploring her ideas on the subject. In addition, she was upset that I was not respecting her right to be upset. Eventually, I became so upset that she apologized to me for misunderstanding and mistrusting me, and we cooled down. Later on, after we'd made up, she posed this question. She said, "Many times when we argue, it seems that I get upset about something, and then you get upset, then I'm upset, and then I have to apologize for upsetting you. Somehow I think something is missing. Sometimes, I'd like you to tell me that you're sorry for upsetting me." Immediately, I saw the logic of her point of view. Expecting apology from her did seem rather unfair, especially when I upset her first. This new insight transformed our relationship. As I shared this experience in my seminars, I discovered that thousands of women could immediately identify with my wife's experience. It was another common male-female pattern. Let's review the basic pattern. 1. A woman expresses her upset feelings about XYZ. 2. A man explains why she shouldn't be upset about XYZ. 3. She feels invalidated and becomes more upset. She's now more upset about being invalidated than about XYZ. 4. He feels her disapproval and becomes upset. He blames her for upsetting him and expects an apology before making up. 5. She apologizes and wonders what happened, or she becomes more upset and the argument escalates into a battle. With a clearer awareness of the anatomy of an argument, I was able to solve this problem in a fairer way. Remembering that women are from Venus, I practiced not blaming her for being upset. Instead, I could seek to understand how I had upset her and show her that I cared. Even if she was misunderstanding me, if she felt hurt by me, I needed to let her know that I cared and was sorry. When she would become upset, I learned first to listen, then genuinely to try to understand what she was upset about, and then to say, "I'm sorry that I upset you when I said XYZ." The result was immediate. We argued much less. Sometimes, however, apologizing is very difficult. At those times, I take a deep breath and say nothing. Inside, I try to imagine how she feels and discover the reasons from her point of view. Then I say, "I'm sorry you feel so upset." Although this is not an apology, it does say, "I care," and that seems to help a lot. Women tend to say "I'm sorry" more than men. Because when you say "I'm sorry" on Mars, it means you've done something wrong and you're apologizing. Women, however, say "I'm sorry" as a way to say "I care about what you're feeling." It doesn't mean they're apologizing for doing something wrong. The men listening to this, who rarely say "I'm sorry," can create wonders in their relationship by learning to use this aspect of the Venusian language. The easiest way to derail an argument is to say "I'm sorry." Most arguments escalate when a man begins to invalidate a woman's feelings and she responds to him disapprovingly. Being a man, I've learned to practice validating. My wife practiced expressing her feelings more directly without disapproving of me. The result was fewer fights and more love and trust. Without having this new awareness, we probably would still be having the same painful arguments. To avoid painful arguments, it's important to recognize how men unknowingly invalidate and how women unknowingly send messages of disapproval. How men unknowingly start arguments. The most common way men start arguments is by invalidating a woman's point of view. Men don't realize how much they invalidate. For example, a man might make light of a woman's negative feelings. He might say, "Ah, don't worry about it." To another man, this phrase seems very friendly, but to a female intimate partner, it's insensitive and it may hurt. In another example, a man might try to resolve a woman's upset by saying, "It's not such a big deal." Then he offers some practical solution to the problem, expecting her to be relieved and happy. He doesn't understand that she feels invalidated and unsupported. She can't appreciate his solution until he validates her need to be upset. A very common example is when a man has done something to upset a woman. His instinct is to make her feel better by explaining why she shouldn't be upset. He confidently explains that he has a perfectly good, logical, and rational reason for what he did. He has no idea that this attitude can make her feel as though she has no right to be upset. When he explains himself, the only message she may hear is that he doesn't care about her feelings. For her to hear his good reasons, she first needs him to hear her good reasons for being upset. He needs to put his explanations on hold and listen with understanding. When he simply starts to care about her feelings, she'll start to feel supported. This change in approach takes practice, but it can be achieved. Generally, when a woman shares feelings of frustration, disappointment, or worry, every cell in a man's body instinctively reacts with a list of explanations and justifications designed to explain away her upset feelings. A man never intends to make matters worse. His tendency to explain away feelings is just Martian instinct. By understanding that his automatic gut reactions in this instance are counterproductive, a man can, however, make this shift. Through a growing awareness and his experiences of what works with a woman, a man can eventually make this change. How women unknowingly start arguments. The most common way women unknowingly start arguments is by not being direct when they share their feelings. Instead of directly expressing her dislike or disappointment, a woman asks rhetorical questions and unknowingly or knowingly communicates a message of disapproval. Even though sometimes this is not the message she wants to give, It's generally what a man will hear. For example, when a man is late, a woman may feel, "I don't like waiting for you when you're late," or, "I was worried that something had happened to you." When he arrives, instead of directly sharing her feelings, she asks a rhetorical question like, "How could you be so late?" Or, "What am I supposed to think when you're so late?" Or, "Why didn't you call?" Certainly asking someone, "Why didn't you call?" is okay if you're sincerely looking for an answer. But when a woman is upset, the tone of her voice often reveals that she's not looking for an acceptable or valid answer, but is really making the point that there's no acceptable reason for being late. When a man hears a question like, "How could you be so late?" or "Why didn't you call?" he doesn't hear her feelings, but instead he hears her disapproval. He feels her intrusive desire to help him be more responsible. He feels attacked and becomes defensive. She has no idea how painful her disapproval or rejection is to him. Just as women need validation, men need approval. The more a man loves a woman, the more he needs her approval. He wants to be her knight in shining armor. It's always there in the beginning of a relationship. Either she gives him the message that she approves of him, or he feels the inner confidence that he can win her approval. In either case, the approval is present. Even if a woman has been wounded by other men or her father, she'll still give her approval in the beginning of a relationship. She may feel, "He's a special man, not like others I've known." When a woman withdraws that approval, it's particularly painful for the man. Women are generally oblivious of how they pull away their approval, but when they do pull it away, they feel very justified in doing so. A reason for this insensitivity is that women really are unaware of how significant approval is for a man. A woman can, however, learn to disagree with a man's behavior and still approve of who he is. For a man to feel loved, he needs her to approve of who he is, even if she disagrees with his behavior. Generally, when a woman disagrees with a man's behavior and she wants to change him, she'll first disapprove of him. Certainly, there are many times when she's more approving and less approving of him, but to be disapproving is very painful and hurts him. Most men are too embarrassed to admit how much they need approval. They may go to great lengths to prove they don't care. But why do they immediately become cold, distant, defensive when they lose a woman's approval? Because not getting what you need hurts. One of the reasons relationships are so successful in the beginning is that a man is still in a woman's good graces. He's still her knight in shining armor. He receives the blessings of her approval and as a result rides high. But as soon as he begins to disappoint her, he falls from grace. He loses her approval. All of a sudden, he's cast out into the doghouse. A man can deal with a woman's disappointment, but when it's expressed with disapproval or rejection, he feels wounded by her. Women will commonly interrogate a man about his behavior with a disapproving tone. They do this because they think it will teach him a lesson. It doesn't. It only creates fear and resentment, and gradually he becomes less and less motivated. To approve of a man is to see the good reasons behind what he does. Even when he's irresponsible or lazy or disrespectful, if she loves him, a woman can find and recognize the goodness within him. To approve is to find the loving intention or the goodness behind the outside behavior. To treat a man as if he has no good reason for what he does is to withhold the approval she so freely gave in the beginning of the relationship. A woman needs to remember that she can give approval even when she disagrees. When he needs her approval the most. Most arguments occur not because two people disagree, but because either the man feels that the woman disapproves of his point of view, or the woman disapproves of the way he's talking to her. She often may disapprove of him because he's not validating her point of view or speaking to her in a caring way. When men and women learn to approve and validate, they don't have to have painful arguments. Instead, they can discuss and negotiate their differences. When a man makes a mistake or forgets to do an errand or fulfill some responsibility, a woman doesn't realize how sensitive he feels. This is when he needs her love the most. To withdraw her approval at this point causes him extreme pain. She may not even realize she's doing it. She may think she's just feeling disappointed, but he feels her disapproval. One of the ways women unknowingly communicate disapproval is in their eyes and the tone of voice. The words she chooses may be loving, but her look or the tone of her voice can wound a man. His defensive reaction is to then make her feel wrong. He invalidates her and justifies himself. Men are most prone to argue when they've made a mistake or upset the woman they love. If he disappoints her, he wants to explain to her why she shouldn't be so upset. He thinks his reasons will actually help her to feel better. What he doesn't know is that if she's upset, what she needs most is to be heard and validated. How to express your differences and avoid painful arguments. Without healthy role models, expressing differences and disagreements can be a very difficult task. Most of our parents either didn't argue at all, or when they did, it quickly escalated into a fight. The following reveals how men and women unknowingly create arguments and suggests healthy alternatives. In each of the types of arguments, I first provide a rhetorical question that a woman might ask, and then show how a man might interpret that question. Then I show how a man might explain himself and how a woman would feel invalidated by what she hears. Finally, I suggest how men and women can express themselves to be more supportive and avoid painful arguments. The anatomy of an argument. 1. When he comes home late. Her rhetorical question. When he arrives late, she says, "How could you be so late? Why didn't you call? What am I supposed to think?" The message he hears is, "There's no good reason for you to be late. You're irresponsible. I would never be late. I'm better than you." When he arrives late and she's upset, he explains, "There was a lot of traffic on the bridge." Or, "Sometimes life just can't be the way you want it." Or, "You can't expect me to always be on time." What she hears is, "You shouldn't be upset because I have good and logical reasons for being late. Anyway, my work is more important than you, and you're too demanding." To avoid a painful argument, she could say, "I really don't like it when you're late. It's upsetting to me. I'd really appreciate a call next time you're going to be late." And he could avoid an argument by being more validating. He could say, "I was late. I'm sorry. I upset you. It was insensitive." Most important is just to listen without explaining much. Try to understand and validate what she needs to feel loved. 2. When he forgets something. Her rhetorical question. When he forgets to do something, she says, "How could you forget? When will you ever remember? How am I supposed to trust you?" The message he hears is, "There's no good reason for forgetting. You're stupid and you can't be trusted. I give so much more to this relationship." Then when he forgets to do something and she gets upset, he explains, "I was really busy and I just forgot. These things just happen sometimes. It's not such a big deal. It doesn't mean I don't care." The message she hears is, "You shouldn't get so upset over trivial matters. You're just being too demanding and your response is irrational. Try to be more realistic. You live in a fantasy world. You can't expect me to be perfect all the time." Now let's explore how they could approach the situation differently. Here's how she could give a message that's less disapproving. She could be more direct and say, "I don't like it when you forget." And that's all. He'll get the message. She could also take another effective approach and simply not mention that he's forgotten something and just ask again, saying, "I'd really appreciate it if you'd blank, blank, blank." He'll know he's forgotten when you ask again. But if you ask again with a disapproving tone, "How many times do I have to ask? Would you just do that?" Then he gets the disapproval and he resists. Now let's explore how he could have been more validating and avoid a painful argument. When he's forgotten something and she gets upset, he says, "I did forget. Are you angry with me?" Then let her talk without making her wrong for being angry. As she talks, she'll realize she is being heard, and soon she'll feel very appreciative of him. And then she'll begin to forgive you. After all, nobody's perfect, and if you're from Mars, certainly from time to time you're going to forget things. 3, when he returns from his cave. Her rhetorical question might be, how could you be so unfeeling and cold? How do you expect me to react? How am I supposed to know what's going on inside of you? The message he hears, there's no good reason for pulling away from me. You're cruel and unloving. You're the wrong man for me. You've hurt me so much more than I've ever hurt you. When a man comes back from his cave and a woman's upset, he might explain, I just needed some time alone. It was only for a few days. What's the big deal? I didn't do anything to you. Why does that have to upset you so much? The message she hears is, you shouldn't feel hurt or abandoned. And if you do, I have no empathy for you. You're too needy and controlling. I'll do whatever I want, and I don't care about your feelings. Now let's explore how they could approach the situation and avoid a painful argument. Here's how she could be less disapproving. If it upsets her, she could say, I know you need to pull away at times, but it still hurts when you pull away. I'm not saying you're wrong, but it's important to me that you understand what I go through. Then he can say, well, let's talk about it, and she can share more of her feelings, but this time he'll be more empathetic. Now let's explore how he could be more validating and avoid a painful argument. He says, I understand it hurts when I pull away. It must be very painful for you when I pull away. Let's talk about it. When she feels heard, then it's easier for her to accept his need to pull away at times. 4. When he disappoints her. When he disappoints her, she says, how could you do this? Why can't you do what you say you're going to do? Didn't you say you would do that? Or, when will you ever learn? The message he hears is, there's no good reason for disappointing me. You're an idiot. You can't do anything right. I can't be happy until you change. When she's disappointed with him, quite often a man will explain, hey, next time I'll get it right. It's not such a big deal. But I didn't know that's what you meant. What she hears, unfortunately, is, if you're upset, it's your fault. You should be more flexible. You shouldn't get upset. I have no empathy for you. Now let's explore how she could avoid the argument by being less disapproving. If she's upset, she could say something like this. I don't like being disappointed. I thought you were going to call. It's okay, but I need you to know how it feels when you don't call. And then he can say, well, let's talk about it. Let me understand. And then she can share more. Then he's more receptive to hearing her feelings. Now let's explore how he could be more validating and avoid a painful argument. He says, I understand I disappointed you. Let's talk about it. How did you feel? Again, let her talk. Give her a chance to be heard and she'll feel better. After a while, say to her, what do you need from me right now to feel my support? Or he could say, how can I support you now? Bring it back into the moment. 5. When he doesn't respect her feelings and hurts her. Her rhetorical question might be something like this. She says, how could you say that? How could you treat me this way? Why can't you listen to me? Do you even care about me anymore? Do I treat you this way? The disapproving message he hears is, you're a bad and abusive person. I'm so much more loving than you are. I'll never forgive you for this. You should be punished and cast out. This is all your fault. When a woman's upset because he doesn't respect her feelings, he might then explain, look, I didn't mean that. Or, I do listen to you. See, I'm doing it right now. Or he might say, I don't always ignore you. Or, I'm not laughing at you. When he explains in this way, the message she hears is, you have no right to be upset. You're not making any sense. You're too sensitive. Something's wrong with you. You're such a burden. Now let's explore how she could be less disapproving in her response to the situation. She could say, I don't like the way you're talking to me. Please stop. Or, you're being mean and I don't appreciate it. I want to take a time out. Or, this is not the way I wanted to have this conversation. Let's start over. Or, I don't deserve to be treated this way. I want to take a time out. Or, would you please not interrupt? Or, would you please listen to what I'm saying? a man can respond best to short and direct statements. Lectures or questions are counterproductive. Now let's explore how he could be more validating in his response to avoid a painful argument. He says, "I'm sorry, you don't deserve to be treated that way." Take a deep breath and just listen to her response. She may carry on and say something like, "You never listen." When she pauses, say, "You're right. Sometimes I don't listen. I'm sorry. You don't deserve to be treated that way. Let's start over. This time we'll do it better." Starting a conversation over is an excellent way to keep an argument from escalating. If she doesn't want to start over, don't make her feel wrong. Remember, if you give her the right to be upset, then she'll be more accepting and approving. 6. When he's in a hurry and she doesn't like it. She may complain, "Why are we always in a hurry? Why do you have to rush places?" The message he hears is, "There's no good reason for this rushing. You never make me happy. Nothing will ever change you. You're incompetent, and obviously you don't care about me." In response to her rhetorical question, he might then explain, "It's not so bad. This is the way it's always been." Or, "Hey, there's nothing we can do about it now." Or, "Don't worry so much. It'll be fine. That's just the way the world is these days. Everybody's rushing." What she then hears is, "You have no right to complain. You should be grateful for what you have and not be such a dissatisfied and unhappy person. So what if we rush sometimes? There's no good reason to complain. You're bringing everyone down." Now let's explore how she could give a less disapproving message. If she feels upset that they're rushing, she could say, "It's okay that we're rushing, and I want you to know I don't like it. It feels like we're always rushing." Or she could say, "I love it when we're not in a hurry, and I hate it sometimes when we have to rush. I just don't like it. Would you plan our next trip with 15 minutes of extra time?" Again, give a man the opportunity to be the solution rather than making him the problem. Now let's explore how a man can give a more validating message when she's upset. He could say, "I don't like it either. I wish we could just slow down. It feels so crazy." In this example, he's just related to her feelings. Even if a part of him likes to rush, he can best support her in her moment of frustration by expressing how some part of himself sincerely relates to her frustration. 7. When she feels invalidated in a conversation. When she feels unsupported or invalidated in a conversation, she might say, "Why did you say that? Why do you have to talk to me this way? Don't you even care about what I'm saying? How can you say that?" The message he hears is, "There's no good reason for treating me this way. Therefore, you don't love me. You don't care. I give you so much and you give nothing back." When she feels invalidated and gets upset, he explains, "But you're not making sense." Or, "But that's not what I said." Or, "I've heard all this before." The message she hears is, "You have no right to be upset. You're irrational and confused. I know what's right, and you don't. I'm superior to you. You cause these arguments, not me." When we're hearing these messages, no wonder we end up in painful arguments. Now let's explore how she could be less disapproving in her message. She could say, "I don't like what you're saying. It feels as though you're judging me. I don't deserve that. Please understand me." Or, "I've had a hard day. I know this is not all your fault, and I need you to understand what I'm feeling, okay?" Or she can simply overlook his comments and ask for what she wants. Again, men always like solving a problem. She could simply say, "I'm in such a bad mood. Would you listen to me for a while? I'm sure I'd feel better if you did." Now let's explore how he could be more validating in his message and avoid a painful argument. He could say, "I'm sorry it's not comfortable for you. What are you hearing me say?" By giving her a chance to reflect back what she's heard, then he can again say, "I'm sorry. I understand why you didn't like it." Then simply pause. This is the time to listen. Resist the temptation to explain to her that she's misinterpreting what you said. Once the hurt is there, it needs to be heard if it's to be healed. Explanations are helpful only after the hurt is healed with some validation and caring understanding. Giving support at difficult times. Any relationship has difficult times. They may occur for a variety of reasons, like loss of a job, death, illness, or just not enough rest. At these difficult times, the most important thing is to try to communicate with a loving, validating, and approving attitude. In addition, we need to accept and understand that we and our partners will not always be perfect. By learning successfully to communicate in response to the smaller upsets in a relationship, it becomes easier to deal with the bigger challenges when they suddenly appear. In each of the previous examples, I've placed the woman in the role of being upset with the man for something he did or didn't do. Certainly men can also be upset with women, and then any of my previous suggestions apply equally to both sexes. If you're presently in a relationship, a useful exercise might be asking your partner how he or she would respond to the previous suggestions. Take some time when you're not upset with your partner to discover what words work best for them and share what works best for you. Adopting a few prearranged, agreed-upon statements can be immensely helpful to neutralize tension when conflict arises. Also, remember that no matter how correct your choice of words, the attitude behind your words counts most. Even if you were to use those exact phrases, if your partner didn't feel your love, validation, and approval, the tension would continue to increase. As I've mentioned before, sometimes the best solution for avoiding conflict is to see it coming and lie low for a while. Take a time out to center yourself so that then you can come together again with greater understanding, acceptance, validation, and approval. Making some of these changes may at first feel awkward or even manipulative. Many people have the idea that love means saying it like it is. This overly direct approach, however, does not take into account the listener's feelings and sensitivities. One can still be honest and direct about feelings, but express them in a way that doesn't offend or hurt, or at least try. By practicing some of these suggestions, you'll be stretching and exercising your ability to communicate in a more caring and trusting manner. After a while, it will become more automatic. If you're presently in a relationship and your partner is attempting to apply some of the previous suggestions, keep in mind that they're trying to be supportive. At first, their expressions may seem not only unnatural, but a little insincere. But it's not possible to change a lifetime of conditioning in a few weeks. Be careful to appreciate their every step. Otherwise, they may quickly give up. Avoiding arguments through loving communication. Emotionally charged arguments and quarrels can be avoided if we can understand what our partner needs and remember to give it. The following story illustrates how when a woman communicates directly her feelings and when a man validates those feelings, an argument can be avoided. I remember once leaving for a vacation with my wife. As we drove off in the car and could finally relax after a hectic week, I expected Bonnie to be happy that we were going on such a great vacation. Instead, she gave a heavy sigh and said, "I feel like my life is a long, slow torture." I paused, took a deep breath, and then replied, "I know what you mean. Sometimes I feel like they're squeezing every ounce of life out of me." As I said this, I made a motion as if I was wringing the water out of a rag. Bonnie nodded her head in agreement, and to my amazement, she suddenly smiled and then changed the subject. She started talking about how excited she was to go on this trip. 6 years ago, this would not have happened. We would have had an argument, and I would have mistakenly blamed it on her. I would have been upset for her saying that her life was a long, slow torture. I would have taken it personally and felt that she was complaining about me. I would have become defensive and explained that her life was not a torture and that she should be grateful that we're going on such a wonderful vacation. Then we would have argued and had a long, torturous vacation. All this would have happened simply because I didn't understand and validate her feelings. This time, I understood that she was expressing a passing feeling. It wasn't a statement about me. Because I understood this, I didn't get defensive. By making my comment about being wrung out, she felt completely validated. In response, she was very accepting of me, and I felt her love, acceptance, and approval. Because I was able to validate her feelings, she got the love she deserved. We didn't have a painful argument. Chapter 10, Scoring Points with the Opposite Sex. A man thinks he scores high with a woman when he does something very big for her, like buying her a new car or taking her on a vacation. He assumes he scores less when he does something small, like opening the car door, buying her a flower, or giving her a hug. Based on this kind of scorekeeping, he believes he'll fulfill her best by focusing his time, energy, and attention into doing something large for her. This formula, however, doesn't work because women keep score differently. When a woman keeps score, no matter how big or small a gift of love is, it scores 1 point. Each gift has equal value. Its size doesn't matter. It gets a point. A man, however, thinks he scores 1 point for one small gift and 30 points for a big gift. Since he doesn't understand that women keep score differently, he naturally focuses his energies into one or two big gifts. A man doesn't realize that to a woman, the little things are just as important as the big things. In other words, to a woman, a single rose gets as many points as paying the rent on time. Without understanding this basic difference in scorekeeping, men and women are continually frustrated and disappointed in their relationships. The following case illustrates this. In counseling, Pam said, "I do so much for Chuck, and he ignores me. All he cares about is his work." Chuck said, "But my work pays for our beautiful house and allows us to go on vacations. She should be happy." Pam replied, "I don't care about this house or the vacations if we're not loving each other. I need more of you." Chuck said, "You make it sound like you give so much more." Pam said, "I do. I'm always doing things for you. I do the wash, fix the meals, clean the house, everything. You do one thing. You go to work, which does pay the bills, but then you expect me to do everything else." Chuck is a successful doctor. Like most professionals, his work is very time-consuming, but very profitable. He couldn't understand why his wife, Pam, was so discontent. He earned a good living, and he provided a good life for his wife and family. But when he came home, his wife was unhappy. In Chuck's mind, the more money he made at work, the less he needed to do at home to fulfill his wife. He thought his hefty paycheck at the end of the month scored him at least 30 points. When he opened his own clinic and doubled his income, he assumed he was now scoring 60 points a month. He had no idea that his paycheck earned him only 1 point each month with Pam, no matter how big it was. Chuck did not realize that from Pam's point of view, the more he earned, the less she got. His new clinic required more time and energy. To pick up the slack, she began to do even more to manage their personal life and relationship. As she gave more, she felt as though she was scoring about 60 points a month to his 1. This made her very unhappy and resentful. Pam felt she was giving much more and getting less. From Chuck's point of view, he was now giving more, about 60 points, and so he should get more from his wife. In his mind, the score was even. He was satisfied with the relationship, except for one thing. She wasn't happy. He blamed her for wanting too much. To him, his increased paycheck equaled what she was giving. This attitude made Pam even more angry. After taking one of my Mars-Venus relationship courses, both Pam and Chuck were able to let go of their blame and solve their problems with love. A relationship headed for divorce was transformed. Chuck learned that doing little things for his wife made a big difference. He was amazed at how quickly things changed when he started devoting more time and energy to her. He began to appreciate that for a woman, little things are just as important as big things. He now understood why his work scored only 1 point. Actually, Pam had good reason to be unhappy. She truly needed Chuck's personal energy, effort, and attention much more than their wealthy lifestyle. Chuck discovered that by spending less energy making money and devoting just a little more energy in the right direction, his wife would be much happier. He recognized that he had been working longer hours in hopes of making her happier. Once he understood how she kept score, he could come home with a new confidence because he knew how to make her happy. Little things make a big difference. There are a variety of ways a man can score points with his partner without having to do much. It's just a matter of redirecting the energy and attention he's already giving. Most men already know about many of these things, but don't bother to do them because they don't realize how important the little things are to a woman. A man truly believes the little things are insignificant when compared to the big things he's doing for her. Some men may start out in a relationship doing the little things, but having done them once or twice, they stop. Through some mysterious instinctive force, they begin to focus their energies into doing one big thing for their partners. They then neglect to do all the little things that are necessary for a woman to feel fulfilled in a relationship. To fulfill a woman, a man needs to understand what she needs in order to feel loved and supported. The way women score points is not just a preference, but it's a true need. Women need many expressions of love in a relationship to feel loved. One or two expressions of love, no matter how important, will not and cannot fulfill her. This can be extremely hard for a man to understand. One way to look at it is to imagine that women have a love tank, similar to the gas tank on a car. It needs to be filled over and over again. Doing many little things and scoring many points is the secret for filling a woman's love tank. A woman feels loved when her love tank is full. She's able to respond with greater love, trust, acceptance, appreciation, admiration, approval, and encouragement. But he needs to remember lots of little things are needed to fill her tank. Here are 101 of the little ways a man can keep his partner's love tank full. 101 ways to score points with a woman. 1. Upon returning home, find her first before doing anything else and give her a hug. Or, if she comes home later than you, when she arrives home, get up, find her, and give her a hug. 2. Ask her specific questions about her day that indicate an awareness of what she was planning to do, like, how did your appointment with the doctor go? How was that meeting at work? 3. Practice listening and asking questions. Show interest. 4. Resist the temptation to solve her problems. Empathize instead. 5. Give her 20 minutes of unsolicited quality attention. Don't read the newspaper or be distracted by anything else during this time. 6. Bring her cut flowers as a surprise, as well as on special occasions. 7. Plan a date several days in advance rather than waiting for Friday night and asking her what she'd like to do. Remember, women love a man with a plan. 8. If she generally makes dinner or if it's her turn and she seems tired or really busy, offer to make dinner or at least offer to take her out to dinner. 9. Compliment her on how she looks. 10. Validate her feelings when she's upset. 11. Offer to help her when she's tired. 12. Schedule extra time when traveling so you don't have to rush. 13. When you're going to be late, call her and let her know, even if stopping and making that call is going to make you later. 14. When she asks for support, say yes or no without making her wrong for asking. 15. Whenever her feelings have been hurt, give her some empathy and tell her, I'm sorry you feel hurt. Then be silent. Let her feel your understanding of her hurt. Don't offer solutions or explanations why her hurt is not your fault. 16. Whenever you need to pull away, let her know you'll be back or that you just need some time to think about things. 17. When you've cooled off and you come back, talk about what was bothering you in a respectful, non-blaming way, so she doesn't imagine the worst. 18. Offer to build a fire in the wintertime. 19. When she talks to you, put down the magazine or turn off the TV and give her your full attention. 20. If she usually washes the dishes, occasionally offer to wash the dishes, especially if she's tired that day. 21. Notice when she's upset or tired and ask what she has to do. Then offer to help by doing a few of her